Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unk, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unk podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unk, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
I'm Tracy from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Are you a small business owner or even someone who dreams of entrepreneurship? Then check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from iHeart Podcasts and Intuit QuickBooks. Join hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres as they interview entrepreneurs sharing insights around starting and nurturing a small business. You won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too.
Welcome to Stuff You Missed in History Class from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Sarah Dowdy, and I am here today with another special guest from the HowStuffWorks offices.
Yeah. Hi, Sarah. I'm Ben Bolin. I am a co-host of Stuff They Don't Want You to Know and a co-host of Car Stuff.
So Ben seemed like a natural person to have during this little September series while Dublina is still out on maternity leave. And because Ben does cover two subjects, cars and conspiracies, it was sort of a toss-up what I wanted you to come on the show and talk about. But, I mean, conspiracies, that's really your specialty almost. I don't know if you're going to like anything.
No, that's fine. Thanks so much. I'm really happy to be here. And I will put my tinfoil hat on for this episode at least because, spoiler alert, I think maybe we'll have a podcast from Scott a little later in the future.
I think we will, on cars and famous figures in auto history.
Yes, and we have that to look forward to. So today, let's take a look at a conspiratorial episode in U.S. history. Today, we're going to talk about a senator called Joe McCarthy and a little period called the Red Scare.
You may have heard of it before. And we're just going to sort of go over the background and the lead up to McCarthy's rise to power, as you might call it, in this first episode. And then because this is such a huge story, we're going to keep on going and take it into a second podcast where we cover more about McCarthyism, where we talk about the Hollywood blacklists, all of the sort of better known side of McCarthyism.
Yeah, and this is a good story because it's got all the perils, you know, it has everything a good story usually has except for romance.
No romance, as far as we know, at least.
As far as we know, Joe didn't really have that side of the story play out. But we're going to see how a conspiracy theory or a public panic can sort of get into the public consciousness and sweep the nation along, which is sort of what happened here. But to really understand how this crazy situation occurred, we do, as you say, have to go back to the beginning, right? What were people afraid of? They were afraid of communism.
They were afraid of communism. I mean, that's the simplest way to put it. And American post-war policy, so post-World War II policy, was one of containment. So trying to contain this threat of communism abroad. But by the late 1940s, it seemed like things weren't being contained that well. The Soviets had the bomb. China had become communist. Mm. And people were becoming concerned with that, except that they were also already concerned with communism at home. And that was a really big part of it.
Yeah, because there was a genuine communist party in the United States, and it had been there since 1919. As a funny aside, the Red Scare we're talking about today is actually the second Red Scare.
Second wave.
Which is so strange that we've had this Red Scare, this widespread fear of communism, not once but twice in our nation's history. There, again, genuine communist party is organized in 1919 in the United States. This doesn't necessarily mean, though, that every single member of this party is some sort of extremist or a terrorist.
Some agent.
Right, a sleeper agent. Real life is just not that cool.
They might just have different political inclinations. Mm-hmm. But to combat this perceived threat of communism at home, the government had been investigating these groups, investigating suspicious activity for a number of years, really.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and through several committees. Now, we're going to talk about the House Un-American Activities Committee fairly frequently in parts of this podcast, and we'll probably just call it the HUAC.
Yeah, I think that'll make it easier on us for sure.
Yes, it's also important to remember that the HUAC did not come out of the blue.
No.
Right. It comes from, instead, a sort of lineage of other similar committees that preceded it and then investigated suspicious groups. Now, when we say suspicious at this point in time, this is pre-1930s, 1940s, we're not just talking about communism. We're talking also about perhaps fascist groups. We're talking also about hate groups such as the Ku Klux Klan. And from these committees, the one directly in front of the HUAC is called the Dies Committee. It's named after the congressman who was heading this committee. The HUAC becomes a permanent committee in 1945.
And what's interesting about that is the sort of predecessor of the HUAC, before it became a permanent committee, mm-hmm. at least, it wasn't very popular with lawmakers because it was a little witch hunty. Mm-hmm. It was expensive. And folks sort of thought that once Dies retired, it might just go away. But surprise, surprise, a representative from Mississippi named John Rankin really got into this and worked to make sure that the committee got standing status. And many lawmakers, they might have not been thrilled with the idea of this unpopular committee continuing, mm-hmm. but they felt compelled to vote for it because not voting for it could easily be perceived as doing something un-American if he's out there stating that its mission is going to be to investigate communists that might be hidden in the government.
Yes, absolutely. People don't want to look like they support communism. This is a situation where maybe bad policy is good politics, if that makes sense.
That makes sense to me. And so you have this new committee. It doesn't have a very popular past, and they've got to make a name for themselves. And so the HUAC really kicked off its investigations by focusing on Hollywood and the entertainment industry at first. And that was good publicity because it would stir up fear that Hollywood was just about the biggest, best, highest budget mm-hmm. propaganda machine that you could have. I mean, if communists were there, Hollywood would be, it would seem like a great place to go.
And Hollywood already sort of had a love-hate relationship with the federal government, because it's very easy, if you want a value vote, to paint Hollywood as this just den of debauchery and sin and un-American values. So this is a natural progression. It's also a very shrewd choice.
It is, because you know who's in Hollywood. Big stars, mm-hmm. celebrities, people who, if you order them to come talk to your House committee, it's going to make the news. And that's exactly what happened. The investigations of the motion picture industry started in 1947. And at first, they really did focus on big stars. And some of these were friendly witnesses. So they weren't so much accusing these people of anything, but they wanted to get them out there talking. And an example of this is Gary Cooper. He was asked if the Communist Party should be outlawed in the United States. And he answered essentially, I don't know, I haven't read Marx, I don't really know much about communism, but from what I have heard, I don't like it. So, you know, just a good soundbite, a good thing for the newspapers to cover Gary Cooper before this House committee. It was a good way to get news about what they were doing out to the public.
And also a way to get the public on your side. At this point, it seems as though, if the witness is friendly, it seems as though everybody could win. The committee looks good. Heck, the celebrity might get a chance to plug their upcoming films.
We'll talk more about that later, because everybody was getting the softball questions.
Right.
But, of course, these investigations by these groups did turn out some evidence of real espionage eventually. Not so much Hollywood, but real possible spies were uncovered. I know that sounds like a contradiction, but let's discuss.
Yeah, let's discuss this. And we'll be able to go into a little bit of depth about why we're choosing our words so carefully when we say evidence of alleged espionage. It's still a matter up for debate. Our number one person would probably be considered Alger Hiss.
I'm Tracy V. Wilson from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the United States? The world is powered by entrepreneurs. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks. And every episode, hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown from the lessons of launching and nurturing a small business, and how they have found success being their own boss. From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a Gagillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Planning your next trip? Choice Hotels has a stay for any traveler you want to be, with 22 brands and over 7,400 locations. Whether you're a business traveler, a family road tripper, someone who wants to seek out history and maybe make your own, or just planning a quick getaway, Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. Like a Cambria Hotel, where you can be a cocktail connoisseur and sip locally inspired craft beverages at downtown locations in the center of it all. This is a fun way to visit cities with a lot of history and a lot of fun in mind. Or a Radisson Hotel, for all our productivity powerhouses out there. With flexible workspaces and on-site restaurants, you'll get the most out of your work trip. You'll get the coffee, the Wi-Fi, and the work done. And we can't forget about Comfort Hotels. Imagine you're a family road tripper waking up in your big spacious room and then heading down to a free hot breakfast for the entire family, including waffles. So you'll be well-fed and ready for the day's adventure, even if that's just relaxing. After that, you're spending all afternoon relaxing by the pool. You deserve it. What are you waiting for? Join Choice Privileges and start earning points toward your next stay. Find a stay for any you. Book directly at choicehotels.com, where travels come true.
Now, in 1948, an admitted ex-communist named Whitaker Chambers tells the committee that this Hiss fellow, who works for the State Department or used to work for the State Department, is a communist. And what's more, he says he's a communist spy. Now, currently, Hiss, at this time, is not the kind of guy you would think of as a spy. He's, first off, he's from an established American family. He worked for the State Department. He's president of the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. Hardly a shifty character.
He's got a lot of friends who even come forward and say, no way. There's no way that this could be true.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a good point. Now, of course, Hiss is not the only person that Chambers accuses. He also names people like Ward Pigman, Julian Wadley, other people that may or may not be spies. And here's the thing with Hiss. Hiss is actually convicted in 1950, but he's not convicted of spying.
No, because during his hearings in front of the HUAC, he comes across as very polished, very level-headed, especially compared to Chambers, who doesn't come across that way.
Not at all.
Even though there's still some pretty suspicious evidence that comes out in these hearings, namely the best-named papers ever, the pumpkin papers, which were apparently stored by Chambers in a hollowed-out pumpkin in his pumpkin patch. Even though some of that seems pretty questionable for Hiss's innocence, the hearing is considered inconclusive. It's when he decides to sue Chambers for libel that he finally is convicted of something.
Yes, and he is convicted of perjury in 1950. Again, this is not a conviction that the committee gives him, but this conviction of perjury certainly affects the way people think about his case. And you made such a good point earlier, Sarah, about star power, about how using celebrities will sort of legitimize the HUAC. Somebody else caught on to this very quickly, and that person was Richard Nixon.
He was involved.
Yes, Richard Nixon was one of the driving forces in the Hiss case. And you can make a fairly strong argument that this made him prominent enough on the national sphere. I mean, it certainly contributed to him later running for the presidency.
Yeah, it certainly elevates his recognition nationally.
I'm Tracy V. Wilson from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the United States? The world is powered by entrepreneurs. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks. And every episode, hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown from the lessons of launching and nurturing a small business and how they have found success being their own boss. From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this.
I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter. That's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black. Directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R. Under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Planning your next trip? Choice Hotels has a stay for any traveler you want to be with 22 brands and over 7,400 locations. Whether you're a business traveler, a family road tripper, someone who wants to seek out history and maybe make your own, or just planning a quick getaway, Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. Like a Cambria Hotel, where you can be a cocktail connoisseur and sip locally inspired craft beverages at downtown locations in the center of it all. This is a fun way to visit cities with a lot of history and a lot of fun in mind. Or a Radisson Hotel for all our productivity powerhouses out there. With flexible workspaces and on-site restaurants, you'll get the most out of your work trip. You'll get the coffee, the Wi-Fi, and the work done. And we can't forget about comfort hotels. Imagine you're a family road trip or waking up in your big spacious room and then heading down to a free hot breakfast for the entire family, including waffles. So you'll be well-fed and ready for the day's adventure, even if that's just relaxing. After that, you're spending all afternoon relaxing by the pool. You deserve it. What are you waiting for? Join Choice Privileges and start earning points toward your next stay. Find a stay for any you. Book directly at choicehotels.com, where travels come true.
So today, though, we were saying that this is an alleged case of spying.
Right.
Today, historians still discuss whether or not Hiss was actually a Soviet spy. And if he was, how much did he do? And the reason behind that is because papers do continue to be declassified, some suggesting pretty strongly that he may have really been a spy.
And then he also has a group of historians who say that, for one reason or another, he was not a spy, that he was just being caught up in the moral panic that we're going to see coming out here. But the thing is, as these documents were declassified, most notably the Venona papers, they contain stuff from the KGB that we had not heard of, we being the American public. And, you know, I'm not being a KGB spy master myself, I'm not going to say one thing either way definitively, other than there is still a surprisingly vigorous debate over which of the people Chambers accused of spying were actually spies.
But, you know, we can debate over that all we want. But, of course, at the time, it seems like this is a fairly successful case against a possible spy. The next big case came in March 1951, and that's when Julius and Ethel Rosenberg went to trial for, quote, conspiracy to commit espionage. And this is another case that is debated endlessly, how much involvement they had, how much involvement especially Ethel Rosenberg had. They were found guilty, though. They were sentenced to death, electrocuted at Sing Sing Prison on June 19th, 1951. So we're going through all of this just to give you guys a good picture of what the world is like at this time. So we have Gary Cooper testifying. We have people being sentenced to death for conspiracy to commit espionage. And a lot of folks very scared about the state of communism in the world.
And as Whitaker's chamber says, and this is something that's important to remember as we go forward, there really were some communist subversives. This was not a completely fabricated panic. It's important to remember that there's a grain, and I emphasize, a grain of truth to the story. And I think now it's time to introduce our protagonist, or our, is he a protagonist?
Anti-hero, not sure.
One Senator Joseph McCarthy.
And around this time that we've been discussing, McCarthy is becoming America's number one communist hunter. And he was not involved in the trials that we've discussed. And he did eventually model his cases on HUAC cases, but he was not a chair of the HUAC. He really focused his work more on the armed forces, more in the State Department. Not so much the celebrities and these really high-profile spies. But we've got to give you some background on McCarthy, too, because he really does kind of come out of nowhere almost.
Yeah, it's strange because he didn't have the best reputation as a senator before he became involved with these searches for communist subversives.
No, not at all. I mean, that's why he got involved in the first place. So McCarthy had run for Senate as a Wisconsin Republican in 1946, and he had done some work before then. He had worked as a lawyer, as a judge. He had served in World War II, even though he exaggerated his war record a bit in order to win his election. He claimed he was a tail gunner. He had a totally normal war record, nothing to be concerned about, but pumped it up a little bit. So he won his Senate seat, and then he didn't have a great reputation among his senator peers from the start
right.
either.
Yeah.
I read one article by Richard Cavendish in History Today who said that his colleagues considered him unscrupulous, which I think is a pretty that word might come to mind later in the second episode. Mm-hmm. He wasn't too popular with them, and he only ended up getting one committee appointment. Didn't seem like a real up-and-coming kind of senator.
Right. He wasn't exactly someone they thought would be the president later.
No, or even get a second term.
A returning senator, yeah, to be fair. This begins to change shortly after the Hiss Convention. Joseph McCarthy gives one of the most important speeches of his career. And in this speech, he's talking to a Republican women's group in Wheeling, West Virginia. And this is 1950, February. In this speech, which we have a transcript of here, he begins by commemorating Abraham Lincoln and railing against the growing communist threat to the United States. Now, remember, this is happening as the Hiss case is closed and as the Rosenbergs are still in the process of getting sentenced to death. So this fear is here. And then in front of this crowd, he claims to have proof of, depending on who you ask, he claims to have proof of either 205 individuals employed at the State Department or 57 individuals who are either communist or sympathetic to communism. Now, this speech is crazy because he literally is waving this piece of paper at these people as he's saying he has this list. He's exposing, if you will, a conspiracy theory that there's not only just one or two communist subversives or Soviet agents in the government, but that the State Department especially is riddled.
A whole list's worth.
Now, here's the thing. Later, this you could look at this as one of the beginnings of the McCarthy era. Later, the number that he quotes changes when he rehashes this speech. Sometimes it's not exactly 57. Sometimes it's not exactly 205. And there's one other thing about this list. It doesn't actually exist.
There was no list. There was a piece of paper, but that's it. Nobody even knows what was on that piece of paper. So that is our dramatic cliffhanger for today. We will pick up next time and discuss what we can about this mystery list and how McCarthy's career really skyrockets after this, because clearly it is a fantastic piece of stagecraft to get up, talk about what everybody is most scared of, and have a real list in your hand and wave it around. Who knows who could be on it? So we're going to be talking about all of that next time. And in the meantime, if you want to email us about maybe the first Red Scare, other things that you'd like to talk about, spies, whatever it may be, you can email us. We are at historypodcast@discovery.com. We're also on Twitter at Mist in History, and we are on Facebook. And I was trying to think of an article for this, and one that seems pretty obvious for this first part is how communism works, right? So everybody could go check that one out, get a primer, figure out what people were so concerned about in the first place, and tune in next time when Ben and I pick up the story of McCarthyism. You can find that by searching the homepage for How Communism Works at www.howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This is Raquel Willis from Queer Chronicles. Right now, there are close to 500 anti-LGBTQ plus bills in state legislatures across the country. Lambda Legal is leading the charge against these hateful bills that target mostly trans and non-binary people. You can fight discrimination and help write the next chapter of Lambda Legal history. To learn more about their open cases and to donate, visit lambdalegal.org. That's lambdalegal.org.